Okay, so the highlight of today will be the DID ABNF PR review, which I think Joe will mostly guide us through. Sorry, just one second. I want to make sure we have some have our announcements ready. Okay. Let's see. So yeah, that's the highlight. The rest, you know the drill. IP note, anyone can participate in these calls. However, if you've not agreed to the group's IP policy, we cannot consider substantive contributions. Call notes, these minutes and an audio recording of everything said on this call are archived at the following location. Okay, we use IRC to cue speakers during the call, as well as to take minutes. IRC channel, if I type in IRC, it's not going to help. All attendees should type present plus no space in between to get your name on the attendee list in the transcript. So just like that. Okay, in IRC, type Q, the letter Q plus, no space, with an optional reminder. For example, Q plus 2 mentioned DID spec needs better SEO. So the 2 is required. Okay, if you're not on IRC, simply ask to be put on the queue. And please be brief so the rest of the queue can get a chance to chime in. And you can always Q plus again. Okay, time to pick a scribe. Okay, let me try to reduce the search space a little bit. One second. Benjamin, are you here? Bowden, would you be able to scribe? Chris Weber. Sorry, skipping over people. David Lane, would you be able to scribe? Dimitri? Drummond? Jarlis? Not here. Culprit. Marcus. I'm going to drag this out to make it as painful as possible. Just kidding. Michaela. No Moses. Oh, Moses?
Hey, Kim, I can do it. I don't think I have a lot to say today.
Okay, thanks, Lynn. I will move you to the end. Oh, you know what? You're not. Oh, yeah, here we go. I thought you weren't even in the list, but you are. Okay, moving to the end.
No, that's great. Yeah, I know she's only working like a month or a week.
Okay, we have a scribe, Manu. What's next? Okay, introductions and reintroductions. Anyone new on the call? Okay, I don't see anyone new. So let's do reintroductions.
Chris Weber. Dan Burnett isn't here, is he? Sorry, I'm checking a lot of the same people. One second. Elaine, would you be able to reintroduce yourself? Jeff Orgel, are you up for a reintroduction?
Sure, happy to.
Great.
Yes, my name is Jeff Orgel. I am based in St. Louis, Missouri. I am a professional appreciator and a technologist. So I have been watching the evolution of standards and the challenges you guys have been going through in establishing these protocols and efforts. I'm typically a bystander. I wish I could offer to scribe at all, but I'm afraid I don't quite understand the language and the nuance and all the abbreviations quite well enough. So don't know if I'm really qualified there. But basically been a technologist, 27 years working for myself, put the first computers on the shelf at Best Buy, and have just watched it evolve since then. I call myself a digital anthropologist. So what you all do is extremely valuable, and I carry the best water I can from these every week to the people around us and tell them what y'all are doing.
That's great. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for allowing me to listen in.
So let's move on to announcements and reminders. So I need a drum roll. We have an exciting announcement to make. Marcus Sabadello, we're promoting him to be an editor of the DID specification. This is in recognition of the great contributions he's already made. But then also, as you know, we're doing quite a lot of push to get to close out PRs, and so we could use his additional expertise in it. So we're very happy that he accepted this role, and so we have a new DID spec editor. Congratulations, Marcus. Well,
yay.
Yay.
We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
That as a
thank
positive
you
thing. Okay.
And a big thanks.
Yes, big thanks. Okay, our announcements page is here. Our big, okay, I'm going to turn over to you in just a second, mm-hmm. Christopher. So Rebooting Web of Trust 8, it's March 1 through 3rd in Barcelona, Spain. Our early bird discount appears to be over. Here are tickets. And Christopher, you're up. Christopher?
Yeah, two things. Rebooting has about 30 advanced topic papers that have been submitted. Seven or eight on DIDs, four or five on verifiable claims, three so far, and another coming on social key recovery, and quite a few other topics, rights not property, a bunch of different things around GDPR and social and self-sovereign identity, et cetera. So I highly encourage you go to the GitHub and take a look at these topic papers, even if you're not going to Rebooting Web of Trust. A lot of really good things there. You might, you know, have some input for one of the people who is going to, you know, sort of send along your ideas. So I do encourage you to go to that. The listing of all of them is at the README of the at the top of the repo for Rebooting 8. Secondarily, I don't think it got on to the minutes. We're not going to be having meetings next week because it looks like all the chairs are going to be, you know, on their way to Rebooting Web of Trust. So, and then the week following, it's unclear. We may not be doing a CCG meeting the week following because all the chairs are either flying or at the Verifiable Claims Working Group meeting that is also in Barcelona. So. keep your eye out on that second meeting, but definitely next week is canceled for this time Tuesday.
Thanks, Christopher. And I think you mentioned, I think I was distracted by the potential single point of failure that Andrew was pointing out. We'll be flying in separate planes, as far as I know. And the rebooting web of trust is followed by, if Christopher didn't mention already, the verifiable credentials working group face-to-face. I have the link in there if you're interested. IIW will be April 30th through May 2nd in Mountain View. Here's the link to that. Actually...
Yeah.
There were two other things that didn't get in. I'll add. So we have a lot of BTCR people that will be at Rebooting and have submitted BTCR topic papers, in fact. So we will be having a pre-Rebooting BTCR sort of kickoff to talk about like the current state of things and kind of figure out a game plan, because we're hoping to get a whole lot done at this rebooting. So ping me if you are interested. I'll also send the invite to the CG mailing list after we get the time. We already have a poll out on the time, so we're probably going to lock that down now, but you can join in if you're able to. See, yeah, the other one, we'll get into that later. I'll update the announcements. Okay, so progress on action items. Okay. Let's see. So actually, one of these, number 57, that's what we're going to be doing today. We talked about but did not yet close or did not unflag review next of number 43 and 44. So I think 44, the only challenge we were having there was assigning Lionel to it. And I think, okay, he's not on the call, but I'm going to go ahead and say we can unlabel that review next. The only other problem was the enigmatic Ryan Grant, who... somehow you can never assign him anything on GitHub. So that's still an issue. Maybe he'll join us at some point. We'll pin him down and make him accept this work item. So that was 43. Okay, let's talk about number 59. I created an issue to track that. Manu mentioned... actually, Manu, I'll let you go first. Oh, that's what I was going to talk about. Perfect.
Yes. So the issue 59 is pointing out that the editors of the registry, me and Drummond, pulled in a couple of DID methods that did not have a spec attached to them. In some cases, we were promised specs and they never materialized. So we've kind of asked those folks to submit a specification. Many of them have responded. And this raises a question on, you know, if people continue to not provide specifications for the DID method. And again, these are like super provisional specifications. It can be just like two paragraphs of prose that you're hopefully going to update over time. That if people can't even meet that bar, then do they get to stay in the registry? So I've already got confirmation from, like I said, a number of people that they're going to be adding their DID method specs to the registry. So I don't know if there's any further action we need to take other than potentially maybe like in a month to revisit it to see who still hasn't done that.
Yeah, Manu, I agree. We don't have to hit it every week, but I think we can check in on it regularly and also send emails. And if ultimately, you know, after a fair amount of warnings, if we're not getting an update, we can just remove them and, you know, request an update when the provisional spec is available. Johnny, you are up.
Yeah, I just, my concern is that these are early days, and so whether or not it's just, for instance, the IPID spec is actually changing. It went from publishing to IPFS, now publishing to IPLD. And so I think I'm just a little bit hesitant to support a spec that is still in development. You know, I already have people who I have shared it with. You know, it's overwhelming to support just a handful of people with issues and everything's just, you know, changing so quickly. So it's issues of version control. And I suppose maybe just, you know, my question would be, what is the formality of this registry process, and/or ledger type of process?
I have some thoughts. I'm going to ask someone else to answer. First of all, I don't think publishing that provisional spec means anything about your obligations to actually maintain it. I'm saying that also selfishly, given what we have in the DCR method spec right now. Good, Manu's on the queue to talk to that. We have Drummond next.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think it's all the DID method specs are changing, you know, they're evolving, but I think the bar should be, we should raise the bar to, you cannot register until you have at least the first draft of your spec, and we need to see it. It's just, I think we're seeing interest at a high enough level that we need to ensure that it's a legitimate, you know, DID method, and not just someone saying, hey, I've got an idea for this. I'm just going to, you know, quote, grab a name. That's the last thing in the world we want.
Right. Christopher, you're next.
Yeah, it's a very similar thing. I mean, I think the you don't have to have implemented a spec. It just means that there's a place that people can go, can look for things, get contacts for who is doing what, you know, what are the general thoughts on how it works, maybe, you know, how to get on a mailing list or whatever. But it doesn't mean that you actually have to have implemented it. It doesn't mean that you signed up, you know, W3C IPR restrictions or any of those types of things. I think it's a very lightweight thing. And, you know, part of it is to avoid the problem of, you know, we now have a centralized registry. but we don't want to, you know, it's too soon to try to create decentralized registry just to register the, you know, the dozen or so, maybe two dozen or so real DIDs methods that are out there. I mean, maybe we'll have a way of doing lightweight registries like that in a consistent fashion, but we can't do it right now. So, you know, please consider these requirements to be very light, but we need them because we, you know, we just can't have everybody, you know, Coca-Cola saying, well, we're going to do the Coca-Cola DID, unless they're, you know, serious enough to at least do, you know, a beginning of a draft or something. I'll close that this only applies to provisional. At some point, we're going to be requiring, you know, higher levels of requirements for higher levels of the, you know, the qualifications. That's it.
Thanks, Christopher. Manu, you're up.
Yes. So plus one to everything that was just said. Just so everyone has the link, there's the link to the registry. And we actually do outline the registration process in the registry, and we do say that, let's see, I think you have to create a spec. And like Christopher mentioned, the spec does not have to be complete. You don't have to implement it, but you do have to give general guidance on what you're trying to do there. So we're pretty far along there, and I, you know, I think most of the ones that are there are going to submit one in the near future. So Johnny, it's not like literally, like, if you write two paragraphs, that's good enough for now. And I, frankly, I think you have more than that for, you know, IPFS, IPLD. Okay, and that's pretty much it. I did have something else, but I've forgotten it. The other thing to mention is that this kind of became an issue because all of a sudden there have been a number of people that have said, hey, I'd like to get into the registry. We're going to do our DID method spec, but it's probably going to be 6 months from now. I think we need to probably take a harder line stance against stuff like that as the weeks and months roll on. There are some companies that it's very clear that they're trying to just name squat on the registry, and we probably want people that are not trying to do that but are actually actively implementing this stuff in some capacity. That's it.
Marcus, you're up.
I just wanted to report I've been in touch with the YOLOCOM people. Their DID method is JOLO, and they're planning to submit a method spec soon.
Excellent. I think we had something like 5 without a spec, and they were, yeah, so that's good. We're reducing that amount. Joe, you're up.
Oh, I just wanted to echo that it's the name squatting that's the problem. If people can just grab a name and sit there, that's no good. So I think it's a reasonable cost to get your name to have some drafts, have something up. Hopefully not too much of a burden, Johnny, but I think you can see the trade-off, hopefully.
Okay. Let me just double-check. I think we made it through all of that. Okay, so that's it for action items. Next we can... So I had originally in the minutes review a PR with updated ABNF. I originally had flagged Dimitri and Amy, but reading it because he has a alternate PR in which he will anchor it to why the different PR. So Joe, do you want to take it away?
Sure. So, I have to apologize. What did you just say about Dimitri? I thought I'd have him start, but I can pray.
Okay. If you want Dimitri, I got a little confused. So if you want Dimitri
Well, well, that's good. Let me just kick it off then. So Dimitri put together a pull request based on a bunch of input and concerns and issues from different folks, and he and Amy put that up. It's not addressing my issue, which I'll get to next, but this is why I wanted Dimitri to kick off, specifically with a focus on what is it you were intending to address, less so much about the syntax. I'm not sure I want to talk about that quite yet. And then I'll explain what I was trying to get at with my follow-up.
Great. Thanks. Dimitri, can you take it away?
Sure, yes. So that pull request sort of integrates a bunch of different conversations that were happening in issues and PRs and on calls. And the basic idea is this. There was some confusion about the relationship between service references, so links to services that require intermediate DID resolution, and the DID URIs themselves. So there's a bit of confusion about that. So what the PR does is it clarifies the ABNF rules. It addresses some of the undefined terms that people brought up. So it clarifies the rules. It splits the ABNF rules into two sections. One just dealing with DID URIs, and then another one dealing with DID references built on top of those DID URIs, and DID references being things like key identifiers and links to service paths and queries and such. Does that make sense?
Yep. Joe, is that enough context to lead into where you are going?
Sure. So, okay. So first of all, thank you, Dimitri, for putting that pull request together. We had hoped to talk about it last week, but I'm glad you could put it in so that we could have this conversation. When I read through the pull request, I realized it wasn't quite addressing my first crazy-making face looking at the – and I guess this has been here for a while. So there are two main things that are in my issue, which I'll put in the chat. So 170 is the issue I raised to try and get some conversation around what seemed like maybe more of a meta issue. So every conceptualization I've held about DIDs have been DIDs as URLs, DIDs as URIs, which to me includes the entire string. You know, if a URL, in fact, I'm looking at the chat right now. So the URL for the chat includes a query part of channels equals VCWG, if you happen to be using the web chat. To me, that, and every usage I've ever seen, that entire string is the URL. So the URL includes the query part and the fragment part. And the definition in the specification is not that way. It refers to the DID only as the DID scheme and the identifier string. And so that seemed really strange to me. And that was my big what's going on here. And as I compared the goals as stated to match the URI spec, the URI spec also includes the query and the fragment term in the definition of a URI. So I was struggling to see how the proposed distinction actually works with the URI stuff. So unpacking and going back to RFC 3968, or is it 86? We should probably pull up that spec so people can take a look at it. There's a hierarchical part, and then there's the query and the fragment. And there's some agreement on the back and forth on my issue with Drummond that, yes, let's try and be as much like that as possible, and it looks like we might be able to get away with just customizing the higher parts, which typically is the domain name and the path and a traditional URL. But Drummond laid that out differently in his proposed A, B, and F, and it seemed more complicated to me. And I proposed a weird quirk. I don't think it's come up before. There certainly is no consensus around it. So I have no problems if people who are a little deeper into it tell me I'm being crazy. But it seemed to me the query part is a natural place to put the service ID dereference, both to make it very clear that if you have a query part, you mean that you're dereferencing to the service endpoint. If you don't have a query part, it means that you want to dereference to the DID document or some part of the DID document. So that was sort of my crazy idea, and it seemed to make more sense to me in the flow of how the A, B, and F for URIs work, and there's a proposal in that in my issue. I still have some questions, which are issued there, and I want to raise them to the group in case anyone can chime in. Is there something else that queries are used for in DIDs? If you have a DID with a query on that, what's the semantics of that? And similarly, I don't have a conceptualization of what path parts are. If you have a DID with a path, what does that mean semantically? So that's it. That was my introduction, and I see a bunch of folks on the queue.
I'm excited because that means there are three A, B, and F. I'm just curious how many we'll get out of this meeting. Drummond, you're up.
Oh, boy. Let's not try. Man who goes, let's go for five. Yeah. I first want to say when I saw that thread and saw Joe's point, I was like, oh, I do understand everything he's saying. By that, what I mean is if Joe brings up something, you know, he has thought it through. And so interesting enough, I discussed it offline with Marcus over the last 2 days. The evolution of the term DID has always, from the outset, corresponded to the actual identifier that is resolved, to use the precise term from 3986, in order to get the DID document. So from the outset of the first instance of the SPAC, we used the term DID for that, and we wrote that DAVNF around that, which is the DID is that identifier. What we've realized is that we've never formally come up with a term for and by the way, that identifier all by itself is technically a URI. In fact, technically it's a URL because it actually is the locator for something, which is the DID document. Even in the key wrapping or other scenarios where essentially there's a way to derive that metadata from the DID, technically I think the W3C would say, yeah, no, it's still a URL. So by itself, it's a URL, but that URL has a very specific name. It's a DID. And so we've never really come up with a formal name. We have something in the ABNF previously to say, well, if then you add a path, a query, or a fragment, all the other components that are allowed by 3986, then you have a DID URL. You've got something that is more than just the DID, and that's the historical reason that the term DID did not correspond to the same thing that URI or UL does, which is the entire string. In exchange that I had with Marcus last night, we were like, you know, we should actually have the BNF reflect that and have DID just be the string and then DID-URL be the term we use for when you've got a DID URL that is, you know, anything beyond just the DID. So that's point one, and I'll quickly make point two, which is, did we lose me?
I hear you.
I'm here, Drummond.
Okay, I'm sorry. So someone just said, did we lose me?
Yep.
The second point on service IDs, and how to select a service, this is the fourth discovery identifier and discovery spec that I've worked on, and actually Marcus, I think, has been involved with three of them. What we discovered very, very painfully in the XRD work at OASIS, and XRD is a full OASIS standard, was that we had the exact same challenge there. We did solve it by coming up with a syntax for putting service identifier selectors in query components. But it was a nightmare to implement. And the problem is that in order to create DID URLs that resolve to services, and basically you want to reserve everything from the path, the query, or the fragment for the developer creating the DID URL. You want to pass on everything exactly as they compose it. So it is much simpler to put the service ID selector as a component of the higher part as it is in ABNF, meaning before a path query or fragment. And that's why we proposed the syntax that there's only, you know, like 6 or 7 characters you can use to distinguish that component. And semicolon has been the selection. But anyway, that's the justification for that, because of the very painful experience we had. I'm happy to go deeper. I can go find the XRD wrap for folks who can see how it was done there. But, you know, Marcus as an implementer can explain, you know, the challenges we ran into. I'm done.
Dimitri?
Yes. Okay. Excellent points by everybody. So I want to address a couple of those. To Joe's point, I want to echo what Drummond said, that putting the service identifier in a query was definitely one of the options brought up by several people, including Joe, and in the discussion in PR 90 of the various proposed and rejected schemes, that's definitely one of them. So it's been brought up multiple times, and for numerous reasons, is not a good idea. One is implementation experience that Drummond mentioned. Another one is it goes against various subtleties of the URI spec. So definitely no on that one. As far as, so it sounds like Drummond would like to, so the current PR, those being discussed, uses the exact same term that Drummond was calling did URL. It's just calling it did service reference. So I only went with did service reference because that's what was there before. Absolutely happy to rename it to did URL to reduce confusion. The other thing that Michael Herman, and I don't want to steal your thunder, but I thought you brought up a really good point on IRC, which may shed. I think we got hold of you there somewhere.
It's just
no problem. So hold on 1 second. Kick my dog out. She just came back from a walk and is extra rowdy. Okay. So the thing that Michael mentioned on IRC is that unlike traditional URL, the DIDs, since they are a lot of them are based on things like distributed ledgers, distributed hash tables, and so on, there's no server on the other end to execute a query. That's why it doesn't make sense to, semantically, to have a query to the DID itself. It doesn't make sense semantically to have a path to the DID itself. The only sort of context where paths, queries make sense is in reference to the service inside of the DID. So that's why the current PR makes a sharp distinction between this is a DID and this is a DID reference. Okay, that's it. Three.
Johnny, you're next.
Yeah, so within the IP ID spec, we heavily use IPLD, interplanetary link data. So you can do a path traversal. For instance, we do heavily use sort of RESTful API endpoints, and this is actually what happens behind the scenes, is basically it goes to a gateway, in this case IPFS, but it could be Cloudflare, it could be a local host, and that dereferences the key attribute, the key being the hash of the public key, which is the DID method specific identifier, to a value, in this case, a CID, a content ID. But the beauty of that is actually, and we use slashes to represent path traversal. So you can do something like this, and actually that, if you were to do it on your command line, actually would you get the previous version of the DID document. But you can actually continue to do that to get all the way up to the core until it doesn't exist anymore. So we don't use the DID fragment because that, like Dimitri had said, is very much a coming from the HTTP protocol or the HTML protocol of a fragment within the DOM. And I sort of echo what Dimitri had said, that I think that there's some concern about, like, this is a pseudo-like URI carried over from the URL, but we're carrying over the query language that is very focused on the HTTP protocol. So I think, and actually in some cases, we actually use the pound to actually be the secret share, so actually to decrypt the payload. The pound, we sometimes use that to separate and actually allow you to decrypt that payload.
Michael, you're up.
This always gets so complicated. I'm going to reiterate something I said a week or 10 days ago. I think this whole query part, everything that comes after the identifier string, I think that should be removed to the DID resolution specification. I know that's not a popular view, but we're never going to get to the end of things, I think, if we keep trying to do stuff in the DID spec, and then we have a bunch of different conversations now in the DID about the DID resolution spec, which are about the protocol. And I think as long as we have a mix-up here of
what goes in what spec, it's going to be a problem. That being said, I'm sorry, I don't remember what issue it is, but recently, either yesterday or this morning, Drummond and Joe engaged on a discussion around the ABNF, and I think Drummond was the most recent one to propose one. And I like it, just like I like Dimitri's. There's a very clean separation about what the DID is, and the DID is just the string. And whether it's called the DID URL or the DID reference is immaterial to me, but I think we've come a long ways just in clearly separating what the identifier is, and we just have to make sure we don't lose that.
Marcus, you're up.
Yeah, for me, my understanding has also always been that the DID is the identifier itself without path, query, fragment, and if we have that, if we have a path or query or fragment or something other than just the DID itself, then it's called something else. It's called a DID reference or DID URL or whatever. That has also been my understanding. I think what is very useful right now is that we're distinguishing between resolving and dereferencing. I think it helps to be clear on that, and that when we dereference a DID reference or a DID URL, then that would involve resolution, but it's more than resolution. I think the way Dimitri has explained it, or the way it's expressed in his ABNF, that when you dereference the DID reference, then you could get either to something to a resource in the DID document, or you get to a service endpoint, depending on what exactly it is that you're dereferencing. Talking about this, I wonder if maybe the DID resolution spec should actually be called the DID dereferencing spec, or at least whether the dereferencing process should be covered also in the DID resolution spec. I don't think the ABNF should be in the DID resolution spec. I know that's what Michael is suggesting, but I think Dave has explained it in a quite convincing way, that it's a common pattern in W3C specifications that you separate data model and syntax from protocols. So I think it's pretty clear that the ABNF and the document format as well should be in the main DID spec, but then how to resolve it or how to dereference it, that would be in the DID resolution spec. And finally, regarding question of the service name, I also think service name should not be in the query string. I'm not sure if we're now proposing to have a service name in the fragment or after a semicolon, but my understanding has been that the advantage of doing that is that the service name or the service itself would actually be a resource in the RDF graph that's behind the document JSON-LD format. Right, so it's not the service name is not a query that we're passing into some function, but it's the actual identifier for the resource that represents that service inside the document.
Manu.
Actually, this is Dan Burnett. Can you add me to the queue? I'm on the phone.
Sure. Yeah.
Thanks.
I need to act myself to remember what I was going to say. Right, so two things. One, I'm having a bit of a problem following the discussion, and it would be helpful to actually look at proposals. I understand that, you know, this has just come up, but like Dimitri's got a proposal in there. I feel like we need at least to do a side-by-side comparison if we're going to pick, you know, one over the other. Not to say that this conversation isn't useful. It is. We need to all kind of get on the same page before we start to look at proposals. There was one thing that was mentioned that's a bit nitpicky, but, you know, people kept saying, well, let's call this thing the DID and the other thing the DID URL. I think the problem with calling something a DID is that I believe that the string that people are calling the DID is, in fact, a valid URL. Like, you can dereference it, right? Usually the test is that identifier, can I dereference it and get something? And what that means is that the most base form of this thing that we're talking about is a URL. So calling something else a DID URL, I think, is going to confuse all the people in ITF and URL land and, you know, the W3C tag and so on and so forth. So anyway, just pointing that out, and that's it.
Yeah, very good point. And so, Joe, I'm going to call on you next, but one thing to sort of follow up on what Manu was saying, it would be helpful to either see them side by side. So maybe that argues for what Drummond was saying, that we revisit this at rebooting, or if we have a ABNF candidate, PR draft, whatever, that looks closest to where we think we're converging, if we want to just iterate on that. So I'm curious where people think the best use of, you know, our energy in terms of closing this. Joe, you're up.
Yeah, so I'm trying to understand this. This is how Drummond just put it. The higher part, you know, identifying the service ID in the higher part so it doesn't interfere or complicate a path query or fragment. I literally don't understand what that means because I don't know what a path or query mean. I understand what a fragment means, but in the context of a DID, those seem to have no meaning, or at least it's they're underdefined to me. Whereas I think it's perfectly reasonable to use query as a field. Dimitri specifically said the use of query as a service specifier would violate 3986, and I would love for you to unpack that for me, Dimitri, because I've been spending a lot of time with that, and I don't see how it's in conflict. But my concern from a user perspective is on my contact page or on my website, I want to say, this service endpoint is how you reach me, and I'm going to put a DID there. And that's how I'm going to think about it, and that's how users are going to think about it. And that's going to include the service endpoint, whether that's as a query or it's as a fragment. Or I might say, here's my public key. Go get it from my DID, and it's key X, right, which is going to have a fragment. That whole thing's the DID. So I think the nuances and distinctions that for one, I don't understand right now, and I'm open to further communication, including at rebooting. We probably won't resolve this on this call. But users aren't going to understand that. They're going to say, oh, a DID is a thing that starts with DID colon, and it has all the stuff after it. And I'd like to make that as easy and accessible as possible to the average user, even if most of the time they aren't going to see it. That's it.
So Dimitri will be able to respond right after Christopher, who's up next.
Yeah, I think my issue is a little, you know, looking from the developer perspective, since that's the audience for these docs. So I'm the equivalent of a browser, or even better, something that, you know, curl or some other thing. When I basically ask for a traditional URL today, when I hit the pound sign, the server handing me all the data sort of stops there. And then it's up to me as the client to take the stuff that's after the pound sign to parse the data that has been sent me for things like that are within there. So whether or not it's the local location of the tag that's in there, or a variety of other different things. So there, you know, I think what I'd like to see in our spec is, what are the things that the ultimate end client has to do themselves, which for me is this stuff after the pound sign, which is, I got a DID document, I need to go in and find that particular key that the person is referencing or whatever, as opposed to what the resolver does, and the resolver, I don't think does that parsing and only gives the client the key. I think the resolver gives the DID document. There isn't potentially a single DID document. Remember, with BTCR, we have a couple of different stages. Depending on, what was defined, it may be composited from a couple of different places. So what it is that the resolver does, though, to me, that's like what the question mark is. that there, it's the resolver that handles the question mark stuff, just like when you go to a server and you're asking for, you know, question mark subset of things. It's not giving you all the data, it's giving you a subset of the data there. I'd like to see the distinctions be clear between these different levels, recognizing at the highest level, it's a BTCR, a service that cannot give you the data. you know, a BTCR transaction, the Bitcoin core is not going to give you a DID. So there will be other services out there where you have to have an intermediary. That's it.
Dimitri.
Okay, so I want to address a couple of the points. One, let's start with what Christopher just said, and very similar to what Johnny Crunch said a couple of statements ago, which is it's really important for us to distinguish the URL of interacting with the resolver, URL of the DID, and then URL of the service reference. What Johnny Crunch was describing with the IPLD of passing in like decryption and various other parameters to the resolver, that's very important, and that is going to differ from resolver to resolver, and partly addresses what Christopher was just saying about the BTCR resolver. So the parameters that we're passing in a query and in fragments to the resolver, that's one thing, right? Outside, we will talk about it in the DID resolution spec, but that's outside of the scope of the DID spec. So one thing is us communicating with the resolver. The second thing is queries, paths, and fragments to the DID document itself. And because there's no server on the other end of the DID, I'm not talking about the resolver, I'm talking about the DID itself, queries and paths do not make sense. Fragments do, because fragments is a client-side identifier to reference parts of the result DID. So that's the second thing. And then the third thing is queries, fragments, and paths applied to the DID service reference. And those you can think of as messages that you're passing through the resolver, through the resolve DID, to the eventual end service endpoint. Right, so those are three different things. I realize Joe's original point in his recent PR that we should unify all those things into one ABNF to match the URI rules. And I would strongly argue in the other direction, that we need to separate them into three different ABNF rules, two of which should live in the DID spec, because we are talking about three different entities, that unifying them into one set of ABNF rules will be way more complicated than keeping separate. Okay, that's it for me.
Let's see. I lost track. Who is next? Oh, Dan, you're up. Dan? Is anyone there? Hello?
We're hearing you, Kim, but not Dan.
Okay. Dan Burnett? I'll move on to Drummond if he doesn't answer. But we are following up on this at rebooting. We're not close to a resolution. But Drummond, you're up.
Yeah, no, I think Dimitri was just a total plus one because I think, in fact, what he describes needs to be in the spec right near the start to just establish sort of, you know, the life cycle of a, you know, DID-related request and those three stages. It's and Ironically, I'm hearing things on this call, and I'm happy to explain because I think it takes a deeper conversation in every booting. What we have been calling what Joe has been calling a DID and meaning by a DID is what I would now call a DID URL. And I think developers, because technically URIs come in many schemes. And so you talk about HTTP URI or, you know, mail to URI or things like that. All of those that are now locators are just referred to as URLs. So a DID URL is a particular kind of URL. And I think that would give us the distinction between, oh, it's a DID URL. That's what you put in your blog and every place when you want to have something besides. A DID all by itself is a URL. So it's actually in the ABNF that I've been, that I was working over with Marcus. That's exactly what we ended up calling that rule. It's just, oh, when it's a DID plus by itself or with anything else, it's a DID URL. But I do agree. I've been amazed, actually, when I haven't been able to have this good of a conversation without, you know, whiteboards and visuals and everything else you need to talk about ABNF. So I look forward. I'm planning. I don't know about anyone else, but I'm planning on spending my time in Barcelona on these subjects to just see how many issues we can close while we're there. That's it.
Great. And Dan Burnett, I'm going to try you again. Okay, Manu, you're up.
And I'm not intending to throw a wrench in the works. So, Dimitri, have you? I've heard actually a couple of people on the call today say that paths don't apply to DIDs, but they can certainly be expressed in DID documents. So you could have a DID with a path component there that identifies kind of a node in the graph if you're looking at it from a JSON-LD perspective. I don't know, and the same thing for like query things, right? So it is possible to use that stuff to identify something in the DID document, and I'm concerned that that may throw a bit of a wrench in this kind of quote-unquote clean separation approach that's being attempted. I don't have an answer for that, just wondering if you put some thought into that.
Dimitri, you're up.
I think Matt is up next. But real quick, so that's a good point about that Manu and Johnny Crunch mentioned that paths can be used as sort of a JSON pointer-like path into the document itself. And one of the things that I would propose that would keep the clean separation is the JSON pointer spec itself, and I imagine IPLD has very similar provisions, mention the syntax to specify the spec as part of a hash fragment. So yes, absolutely, reaching into individual nodes in the JSON tree itself is very useful. I believe we can do it exclusively in the hash fragment belonging to the DID, not to the service reference.
I just want to quickly say this to Drummond. Yes, that's the right way to do it.
Okay, so we have Dan drop off. We're at time. Shall I close with Manu?
I didn't mean any kind of JSON pointer thing, Dimitri, so maybe we'll take the rest of the discussion into the issue tracker. I do think that, you know, some folks want to do JSON pointer, but that's certainly not a requirement for the more basic, like, JSON-LD identification stuff.
I also don't want to do it in BTCR, so it has to be optional.
Okay, so I see Moses on the queue. We will close with Moses.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say that the level of acronyms and jargon has gone way up in this group. It would be really great if when anything's written for the public, we could just say something like context-free grammar using ABNF instead of just using ABNF all the time. Okay?
Okay, thanks, everyone. We won't see you next week on this call. Hopefully, we'll see you at Rebooting. Thanks. Bye.